Welcome back to the Pride of Detroit PODcast. I'm Chris Perfett, P-E-R-F-E-T-T. I can't sing. Lost it there. You know what? It doesn't matter. We're here to talk about football. The football. Season's over. That's it. No more football. It's done. Go home.
Mm-hmm.
Podcast is over too. There will be no more football ever. It's over after this year. Eagles, you get to turn off the lights. What can we say? They got to skim their curse. We didn't. No. The off season comes up, which is clearly a very scary and unknown place. And depending how you feel about this PODcast, if you are a repeat listener, you will know we go off the rails a lot. If you're a fan of that, congratulations. You're about to see that come up quite a bit on the offseason. If you're someone who wants us to talk about whether the Lions should run a 4-3 or 3-4 and wants us to debate that every week until August, guess what? It's not going to happen.
But we got a lot to talk about this week.
We do have a lot to talk about this week. There is quite a bit. That voice there is the fearless leader, Jeremy Reisman at Detroit on Lion, and coming in from Michigan, wait for the drop, it is Ryan Matthews.
Back is the motherfucking rock guy.
At Ryan underscore POD. Ryan, you done eating chips?
Yeah, I had my last chip. It's around 9:30, so it's time to cut myself off.
Is that
closing time?
I think you've had enough. All right.
Well, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. All right, it's been great, fellas. I'll see you later.
I hate that song. Stop it. All right, we've got quite a bit to talk about. And unfortunately, I would like to start on the Super Bowl because that's the actual game that was played. But immediately the day after the Super Bowl, the news broke. What we've been waiting for months now, we've been waiting for Godot, except his name is Matt Patricia, and he wears a cap on backwards and a pencil in his ear. And he's finally coming to Detroit, pending any kind of petty shit from Bob Kraft, which we are also going to talk about later because we're sitting here on Tuesday, which is ironic because last Tuesday we were trying to talk about the lead up to the Super Bowl and the Alex Smith news was breaking. And guess what? There's news breaking live now. But let's talk, before we get to all that, and before we even get to the Super Bowl itself, let's talk about Matt Patricia. And let's talk about the events that have brought Matt Patricia to Detroit. So I'm just going to lead it off with Jeremy Reisman here. Jeremy, why are the Lions hiring Patricia? He sucks. He gave up like 40-some points in the Super Bowl.
First off, I'm having a hard time getting by the fact that you said waiting for Godot. Let's just throw that out there.
Did I say it wrong? Is it Godot or is it Godot?
It's Godot.
No, that's Gal Gadot. We're talking about the French, the play. The play, yes. Waiting for
Godot.
Yes. Is it Godot?
Interesting fact about Samuel Beckett. He actually would drive Andre the Giant to school.
This is something only known by an English teacher, like Ryan Matthews, the rock god.
That's a great play. I think it's up for debate whether or not how you pronounce it. But yeah, no, it's a great play.
I mean, as been shown on the show before, I have trouble with words that start in G, pronouncing them, apparently.
Gnocchi.
Yep. Anyway, Jeremy, answer my question. Patricia sucks. Because, he gave up 41 points to the Eagles.
Oh, yeah, because same old Lions. That's why.
Yeah. he gave up those 41 points. Personally gave them up.
I mean, didn't all three of us say last week that this was going to happen?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. We knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Dude, I wrote it in the Super Bowl preview.
Yeah. And
I said this was exactly what was going to happen, and the sky was going to fall, and all of Lions Twitter was going to lose their minds. And as it was happening, I was like, perfect. I was welcoming the heat.
Here's the thing. Out of Lions Twitter, I think national NFL Twitter should be better. Because there are a lot of people I respect out there that are throwing out stupid tweets, and maybe they're just trying to be funny and jump on the situation.
Yeah, they're just like, trying to be funny.
Lions fans should be shaking in their boots. It's like, get off it. He's got six years of success.
Cough, cough, football outsiders, Scott.
Yeah.
Cough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I expect it from Pro Football Top, not Football Outsiders. I just want to say real quick before we continue on here, I do want to shout out to us, the staff here of the Pride of Detroit POD cast. Are we the only three that called this game for the Eagles in our predictions? Yep.
Yeah, I was gonna hold on to that to the Super Bowl segment, but yeah, we had 7 predictions on the Pride of Detroit page. Only 3 picked the Eagles, and all 3 of them are leaning into a microphone right now.
Well, who had the closest of them?
Okay, you want to just say it instead of me making me say it?
Say it. Swear to me.
You with your 69-point prediction was the closest.
Nice. Okay, nice, let's get serious. Nice. Let's get serious about Patricia, though. Yeah, I agree. Like, no, I don't care what happened in that Super Bowl. I mean, to his defense in that Super Bowl, because, like, I think we've talked about this before, Jeremy. He's not going to be the defensive coordinator here.
He's not,
we need to figure out still as the defensive coordinator.
True, but I do think he's going to be mostly in charge of the defense. I really think we're going to have a Sean McVay type situation where, you know, he's essentially calling the plays on defense, and whoever's going to be that defensive coordinator, I get the feeling it's just kind of going to be a placeholder that's doing all the like extracurricular stuff that Patricia won't have time to do during a game.
Right. Sorry. Sorry. It's been a long day here. I mean, that's true, but at the same time too, like, I think if you're smoking on Patricia today about the job he did in the Super Bowl, I would have to say a couple things too. Number one, I think that underestimates just how bad the personnel for this 2018 Patriots roster has been. They're not good.
I mean, and in that game, they had Johnson Batamosi and Kyle Van Noy, 2 guys that the Lions would not accept with their crappy defense. As starters, they had those 2 guys playing in the biggest game of the season. Just think about that.
And I mean, to go with that, no Malcolm Butler, which is a huge saga still unveiling right now, depending on who you believe on why he did not play. So you already had, you know, like several of your fingers tied behind your back going into it. And I think anything saying, well, Patricia and his defense shat the bed in the Super Bowl really downplays how awesome that Eagles offense is. That Eagles offense, by the way, also, like, and I mean, it's not like this was a flash in the pan for the Eagles too. Look what they did to the Vikings 2 weeks ago.
38 points on the number one defense. And I think we can all agree that the Vikings are the best team in the NFL. And if the Eagles are able to do that to the Vikings, maybe we can stop just saying, oh, it's Nick Foles, it's a backup quarterback. And the Patriots couldn't stop a backup quarterback.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in the next segment, but I think still people today are like really doubting how good that Eagles, how well the Eagles played and how good Doug Peterson coached. But let's get back to Patricia, cuz I know we're kind of veering all over the place. Ryan, Patricia finally coming to town, he's bringing his big beard here. And I guess there's a lot of questions. What is like the first thing you want to see Patricia do once he gets to Detroit? What's like a number one on his once he's sharpened all of the pencils on his desk?
That really bothers me because you just took the words right out of my mouth.
I'm sorry.
I want a video of him sharpening pencils in like a variety one of different sharpeners, one. Like electric, like in a school with like a manual, mechanical, like one of the small little ones that you're allowed at your desk for like SATs.
What about one of those like ones that's just like a razor blade and a piece of plastic that you got to like turn it in?
Yeah, I would love that. I mean, yeah.
I mean, we've got Paul with the Lions. They should be listening to us on this. I hope they're listening and take this seriously because, I mean, we got them to spell out a hidden message of Toto Africa for us.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of buried the lead here, right? I mean, we should be talking about how the Lions hired Matt Patricia on the day, the 35th anniversary of Toto's Africa becoming a number one hit. And then the Lions picked up on that and spelled out Toto Africa when they're announcing Matt Patricia as their next coach. It wasn't just like a one-off of they're just throwing some tweets together. This is when they announced their new head coach. They decided to throw an Easter egg to us. That is awesome.
I really hope it. I mean, that's like my A number one reason to root for the Lions to do well, because sooner or later we got to get Africa to catch on into the lore of this history. Like, it's we're making strides, but we're not there yet, but we're getting close. We're getting real close, and I can smell it. But
I mean, there's Chris, no reason it shouldn't become the Don't Stop Believing for the Lines, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's better than Don't Stop Believing. It's 1,000 times better than Don't Stop Believing.
Absolutely. There's been a lot of pushback lately.
What's up, Ryan?
You guys are wrong.
I totally agree, Jeremy. But I wanted to circle the wagons and come back to your actual question. Like, I mean, like, can we kind of like zoom our focus in? Like, let's narrow our scope. Like, you're asking me, what's the first thing I want to see Patricia do? Like, what does that mean?
So, I mean, well, right now this team is without a defensive coordinator. I need to see what positional coaches are still available on the defensive side of the ball.
Basically everyone but DBs at this point.
Right. So we've got $44 million in cap space, about, you know, a month out from free agency. And just in general, questions about the draft. So I guess, like, I mean, it's the dead of the off season, but how do you want to see the Patricia reign begin in Detroit?
I want to see Patricia have a lot more talent on defense, because the thing that's going to bother me the most during the offseason is, I think this initial blowback, especially in the wake of the Super Bowl and the, you know, the Eagles offense, I think deserves just as much credit as the Patriots defense not playing up to the expectations I think a lot of people had for them, because they were a Patriots defense. Like Jeremy pointed out, you know, Bademosi, Kyle Van Noy, you know, some of the players that were playing, and we haven't even gotten into the Malcolm Butler stuff yet, and I know we will, but that Patriots defense didn't have a whole lot of talent that was on it at that point in the season with all the injuries they incurred. I mean, they lost Derek Rivers, who was supposedly, I mean, that was the guy that they traded up for in the draft. How often do the Patriots trade up to grab guys in the draft? That was clearly a guy that they really valued, and a position where they really needed a starter, and they had zero depth, you know, after they've, you know, casted so many guys off. Like, this is the thing about Patricia too, is that when he had talent, when he had guys like Jamie Collins and Chandler Jones and, you know, Jabal Sheard, like, I mean,
Donta Freeman,
he put together. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
Hightower.
Yeah. I was going to say that tripped me up for a second, but yeah. All of those guys, you know, all this talent that they had on their defense, and then it, you know, gradually just has kind of fallen by the wayside. You know, he's going to come here and he has a guy who's a top five corner in the NFL. You know, if Ansah can ever get healthy, he's a really, you know, he's a cornerstone of like a defensive line. If he ever returns to health and he returns to shape. So I want to see Bob Quinn. And I know these guys are probably going to work in conjunction with one another a little bit here. Just because of the ties that they do have. And that's one of the most exciting things, I think, is that they're putting together, I don't want to like even label it like a, you know, a Patriots like 2.0 or anything like that, but it's just nice that there's some continuity to the franchise. Like there's some like woven, like just kind of like lattice work. Like, I mean, like these pieces are fitting together. Like, I really like that. I mean, we could end up being an organization like the Colts, who have a bunch of assistant coaches and no head coach and all of that stuff going on, you know? So, by the way,
real quick, sorry, I'll let you talk, Jeremy, but just real quick, just again, if you're listening at home and you don't know, it's not going to happen to the Lions. They've already inked Patricia. So if for some reason it does happen, the McDaniels thing happens to Patricia and he ends up going back to New England, I will replace the next 15 minutes of this podcast with just playing the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme on repeat. Jeremy, please continue.
I kind of wish that would happen now just for that. But I'm with you, Ryan. I think that Matt Patricia is obviously, especially coming off of the 2017 season, going to want to load up on defensive talent. And I think Bob Quinn probably would have wanted that anyways with the way the Lions season finished. So is the first step in that throwing the franchise tag towards Ansah? Is that what you think his first, I mean, I wouldn't call it Patricia's first move, but their first move together?
I think so. And I think that you probably agree with me too on this, is that I think the Lions, there's a lot of defensive line talent in the draft, whether or not it's on the edge or the defensive interior, whether or not you view, either of those positions in particular to be, deeper than one another. I think that like two of the Lions' first three picks need to be on the defensive line. Mm-hmm. And if the Lions choose to move on from Ansa, which I've seen that sentiment a lot on Lions Twitter that, oh, the franchise tag is far too much. Don't franchise tag a guy who can't be healthy. Move on from him and spend your money elsewhere. Okay, if that's the case, do you know how dire the need the Lions will be at for defensive line help if they get rid of Ezekiel Ansah? Like, a lot of people have talked about how, Ansah got, all of these sacks in three games or four games, essentially, right? We do realize that Anthony Zettel had a stretch where he had I think it was nine games where he had a half a sack.
Right, something like that.
It was either six or nine. I can't remember. Nice, either way. But, like, we do realize that the Lions don't have – they're pretty devoid of talent. So I think that franchise tagging Ansah is really, like, the only solution to keep that from being – because I think you're almost to the point where do we want to remember what it was like to have linebackers in 2016?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If you let – Ansah go, it's essentially the same thing as cutting DeAndre Levy, right, last year, because that ham-fisted the Lions with their draft completely. They had to go linebacker first round, and they had to go linebacker later in the draft with Jalen Reeves-Maben. So yeah. I'm totally with you, and maybe things worked out in the long term for linebacker, but this is why you only give Ansah the franchise tag. You don't need to lock him up long term. You draft those defensive ends anyways, and then you're good for long term. And if Ansah works out and he's great in 2018, great. Then you consider maybe giving him another deal. Probably not anything larger than a 3-year deal. But I really think Ansah has to be the number one priority once everyone is set. Everyone's on the same page. That should be the first thing to go, because we're only a month away from free agency right now.
All right, we need to take a break here. When we come back, we will talk a little more Patricia. I want to start talking about the Super Bowl coming up that just happened.
Oh, I was hoping there was a sequel.
Yeah, Super Bowl
II. Is there a straight to Netflix Super Bowl?
Yeah. The studios wouldn't pick up this Super Bowl. Actually, you know what it is? The Patriots are invoking their rematch clause.
They're cashing in their Money in the Bank briefcase.
Well, they can't have Patricia back, but I think some Patriots fans would be okay with that.
All right, we'll be right back. PODcast, back at it. Keep going. The world was entranced by Philadelphia last night. Except for Alex Reno, who is still very mad the Eagles won, to the point where it's getting really, really salty. And yes, he's not here, so we're throwing him under the bus.
That's for everyone else.
Well, I think for everyone else, though, maybe you were rooting for Matt Patricia, or maybe you were just happy to see the Eagles win. And I get it. Phil, we had this conversation last episode. Eagles fans, kind of hard to root with, but you know what? That was damn fun. They're allowed to blow up Broad Street.
I mean, absolutely. It was everything I wanted from that game, to be honest. Outside of maybe a better Patricia performance. It was a close game. It was an exciting game. We had some controversy. We had some trick plays. And ultimately, we had the Patriots losing, which is essentially what I wanted, just because I'm kind of sick of them winning and because I also like being right. So the fact that all three of us were right in our predictions,
it's fascinating. Feel pretty good. Like, I don't know how to play the Eagles here, because I don't think they didn't completely outplay the Patriots, because what we're talking about basically comes down to, really at the end of the day, one decision, the strip sack fumble recovery. Like, that's what ended up turning it. It was a dead heat for the entire game, but So I don't want to call it like an underdog story. I more want to call it a wild dog story. This is like watching the Eagles play offense was watching a wild badger roll up on its back and try to scratch and claw at a larger object sometimes. Like they, that just, it was just fascinating to watch them run their offense. And there's been a lot talked about, you know, Chris Collinsworth really banged on the RPO bus a lot, but I'm going to bang on it too. Like the Eagles pulled off some stuff I did not think I would really see in an NFL game. And, you know, I argue with this with people all the time about how far behind the NFL is on offensive schemes, but really like what the Eagles were doing out there was running a 20-year-old air raid offense against the New England Patriots. And a lot of that came from all places, those Chip Kelly years.
Yeah, two things really stuck out to me about this game. One, it was entertaining from start to finish, and not to knock last year's Super Bowl, because it was really great.
That was good.
Yeah, I mean, it was really great to revel in the fact that the, you know, Falcons were actually taking the Patriots to task for, you know, what was essentially like over three quarters of football. But this game like was entertaining. It was back and forth from start to finish. The missed extra points. One of my favorite things in football is to see the Patriots mess up on special teams and then to show Bill Belichick, because it looks like he's going to have an aneurysm. you can just sense how mad he is. But yeah, I mean, that really stuck out to me. Like it's going to be a Super Bowl that I definitely do remember, obviously for the Philly special play, the 4th and 2, you know, yeah, especially with now the,
yeah.
Yeah, especially with the mic'd up version of it now, with, you know, Foles going over and, you know, mentioning the Philly special to Peterson, and Peterson just being like, yep, all right, let's do it.
Yeah, that's
and
a guy who like, trusts his quarterback there. Like, the coach isn't calling for anything. He's just like, yeah, fine, let's roll with it.
And I mean, for all the people that are bagging on Foles and like, oh, I can't believe the Patriots let Foles beat them. Like, that's a moment right there that should make you shut up a little bit. Because clearly Doug Peterson trusts that guy, and clearly he should, because he had a hell of a game.
But that's what I mean when I say, like, when I talk about the air raid offense things, like, that's what Nick Foles knows how to run. You know, he played his college career at what, Arizona? I mean, it just, and he had the most success under Chip Kelly when Chip Kelly was bringing a lot of that Pac-12 stuff up to the NFL. But just more importantly, like, that's what a good coach does. You don't look at your quarterback and try to mold it into something he's not by saying, let's play this, you know, pro style offense. You look at what he's good at. Peterson, it was shown several times. I think there was a Philly, a writer for the Philadelphia for the Athletic, who went back and had some notes. And Peterson basically Peterson sat down with Foles, went over all the tape, found what Foles did best from those Chip Kelly years, focused on, you know, his style of running mesh and wheel routes, and decided, yeah, this is what we're going to do. This is who you are now. We're going to play to your strength on that. And I think, like, at the end of the day, like, that's a sign of an incredible coach right there. Because, I mean, that sounds so
basic,
common sense, so basic. Right. Like, again, Doug Peterson deciding to go for it on fourth down twice, and, you know, risking a bunch of stuff in the biggest game of his life and not taking a knee to end out the first half. Like, it made sense. Everything made sense, but that for some reason feels so rare in the NFL.
And you know who, you know, they say the exact same thing about, you know, plays to his player's strength. Matt friggin' Patricia, just on the opposite end of the ball,
I guess. But again, like, how, I don't think this is the game you want to argue that for. Although no. they did force the only punt out of the game. It came from Patricia's offense. The only punt, one punt from the Philadelphia Eagles. When was that? Like, was that the second? It was the second quarter.
It was a 3-and-out, though.
Yeah. Don't try to shine.
Small victories.
Small spiritual victories.
The other thing about this Super Bowl blowout, Philadelphia fans, you can't be eating poop.
But you know what you can be doing? Okay. Get out what you're going to say about the poop, and then I've got another Philly experience to go on.
All of the goodwill that they earned over the course of that day, all of the reaction videos that were immediately coming out, so good. So very good. Things that made me think, you know what? When the Lions finally win a championship, when they finally climb that mountain, I'm going to feel the same emotion that all of these other fans are feeling. All of it undone by somebody eating horse poop off the street.
See, you can't tell me that wouldn't happen in Detroit. This is a pretty trash. Nope. There is some trash out there that would eat that poop. The only difference is like, yeah, I think, well, I mean, I can't really say that because, I mean, does Detroit even have?
They do.
Pop horses? Okay. Horses. Okay. They do? Okay. I wasn't sure.
They do, but they do, but that wouldn't happen. Nobody would record it. It wouldn't happen. Absolutely not.
I like how you went from nobody's going to do it to no one's going to record it.
I mean, isn't that a big difference too, though? I mean, like, nobody would ever let anybody record that. No, it's just like,
if someone was doing that in Detroit, I would record the hell out of them.
No.
You would record Ryan doing it.
Ryan,
just to be clear, I would never eat horse shit.
We'll see, man. We'll see. I mean, that's kind of the thing too. Like, and again, like, I don't know how you root against the Eagles, because I get it. Some of these teams have gone to more playoffs than the Lions. Some of these teams even gone to Super Bowls and lost them, and they haven't had a victory. But like, the Eagles hadn't won anything since 1960. That's 3 years removed from when the Lions won their last NFL championship. They're again one of those teams who have never won a Super Bowl. But the thing I wanted to talk about on another reaction video, and it sparked curiosity in me because I saw Spencer Hall had one take one way. Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and then Bomani Jones from ESPN had the take the other way, which was proposing to your girlfriend during the. Let's just say festivities on Broad Street. But the point of contention isn't proposing then and there. It's that she was holding a 40 of Old English.
Perfect. Go ahead. Do it. I love it.
See, that's the Spencer Hall take. Bomani's saying that if she's toting a 40 of OE, like, you've got to find a different girl. What's your take, Jeremy?
Real quick, what I want to say is if you're saying that you need to find a new woman because she's holding a 40 OE, you need to, whoever that person was that was eating horse poop, their parents need to exonerate him. He's no longer their son. They, like, if he has any significant others, they need to leave him immediately. Employers should fire him. Like, that person should just be left on an island to think about what they've done.
The horse poop person.
Yes, the horse poop person.
But we're not talking about the horse poop person.
Here's my take. People are saying that you shouldn't propose to her because she's drunk and whatever, on drinking Old English.
No, it's not that. It's just the wisdom of deciding to drink OE.
If you're proposing to someone in that moment, maybe she's the one that needs to leave you.
No, absolutely not. No.
If that's your, oh my gosh, this is the perfect moment.
Oh, we can't have sports intersecting with our real life. We can't have sports intersecting with our real life.
What are you even arguing right now? Who are you arguing against?
I'm saying you're a prude.
I'm saying that I don't want Philly fans around me when I'm proposing to my future wife. Who wants that? I don't want someone breathing their horse shit breath all over me.
what if someone's proposing after the Lions win? How do you feel about that?
What's that?
What about if the Lions win and someone proposes during that?
I mean, if it's like by the Detroit River and there's not a bunch of drunk people screaming around and cars flipped over on fire, then maybe sure.
I mean, we're going to be throwing hundreds of people into the Detroit River if the Lions win a Super Bowl.
Well, then go to a discreet place and do it.
What a prude. Let's talk more about the game itself. Any other reactions? Any other takes? I've set my take out there. It's
do,
that the Eagles
do we want to take Malcolm Butler? Do we want to start with Malcolm Butler?
Oh my God, let's. The drama is in full swing for the New England Patriots afterwards, and it feels bad because, again, all credit out to the Eagles. You won, holy shit, and you won in a remarkable fashion. Your coach outcoached Bill Belichick. But Bill Belichick did not do himself a lot of favors when he decided to not play Malcolm Butler, and depending on who you believe, it's either because of discipline for having weed, or it's just Bill Belichick made a decision. What's going on?
Well, I mean, I have to think that this is just Bill Belichick being weird, because that sort of stuff really does happen a lot. He makes very strange decisions that we all question. The thing is, most of the time he ends up being right, and we're just like, oh, he's a genius. This one really, really backfired. And I mean, Malcolm Butler finally put out a statement today through Instagram denying all of the weird charges that he was out at a concert and he was getting drunk and he was high and someone found weed on him. He was with his family the entire week in Minnesota. So I fully believe him. Tom Brady also commented on his Instagram. I believe Tom Brady in this instance. I don't understand why he would support his player and not necessarily the coaches unless it was true. But yeah, it was just a really odd decision. It seems like it's more Bill Belichick than it is Matt Patricia, but I can't say that with certainty. And admittedly, I have motive to believe that it was on Bill Belichick and not Matt Patricia, because Matt Patricia is the Lions head coach now. But it's a bizarre, I mean, how can you rationalize this decision? This is a guy who started over 97% of the snaps on defense this year, and he didn't play a single defensive snap in the biggest game of the season. It baffling.
It's utterly baffling. And yeah, I mean, just in general, like some of the things the like we talked about this before too. I'm baffled that the New England tried to run that same play that that Philadelphia ran. Like there were just decisions throughout.
Wait. The Patriots ran it first.
Did they run it first? Okay. But I mean, that's what I meant. It's the same play though.
So what are you complaining about? The Eagles running it?
No, I'm complaining about the Patriots running it.
But the Patriots ran it first.
I know, but they didn't succeed.
Okay.
That's the important part. Anyway.
Ryan, what's your take on the Malcolm Butler stuff?
Yeah, like this thing is just so weird.
I think you covered all the bases. Like, it's one of those weird things where it's like Bill Belichick makes a decision. Like you said, usually most oftentimes he's right, but I don't know. There's just something that I feel like hasn't been said, and maybe will never be known, because like you said, it's just a huge head scratcher to even kind of categorize this as like, oh, it's Bill Belichick making one of these like weird decisions. No, like, they didn't have like the depth behind Butler to do something like that for a guy who played nearly all of the snaps this season. It's pretty befuddling, and it's going to be one of those things that I wonder if the truth will ever actually come out. I don't know.
And there's the thing that kills me is just like how much different info is out there, how much info that contradicts itself. Like, There's reports that Butler was demoted last week in practice. There's reports that he was playing in all of these packages the night before the game. And there's some teammates that said they didn't know until kickoff. There's some teammates that said they knew the night before. And it's just all over the place. And it's so weird to me that no one seems to have their story straight, which does kind of lend to your idea that maybe there is something that's not being said right now. And
I think there absolutely is something that's not being said, because like the drama's all over the place today. Like all of a sudden at the end, Rob Gronkowski is just randomly saying, yeah, I might not be playing football next year. Like there's something, that. I mean, what?
He didn't quite say that. That's
I know, but he threw his future into question for no real good reason. Like there's a lot going on with the Patriots in this fallout. And I mean, we kind of do that with every team. As soon as you lose a game like this, but I mean, it just, it feels a little hefty, and maybe there's just more to it now, because again, this isn't like the last time the Patriots lost a Super Bowl. Like, Brady is not a young guy anymore. Like, this isn't the era of the Giants beating the Patriots. This
don't
is
do it, Chris. Don't I, do I, this, Chris.
What do you think I'm going to do?
I'm just saying, there have been so many people that have called for the end of the Patriots dynasty that have been wrong for the past 10 years.
No, I'm not going to call for that. And I still think it's got some years left in it, but you can clearly see, like what? You think Brady's just going to play until he's like 65?
Like, no, but
at some point,
I mean,
he has to fall off.
This was an above average year for him. He won friggin' MVP this year. There hasn't been a show of decline, and I think he's got 5 years left him. I really do.
I don't see five. I see three tops.
I would like to turn this back into Malcolm Butler talk, because there are an awful lot of people that are on Twitter, Lions Twitter especially, and viewing this situation and the fallout with the Malcolm Butler thing during the Super Bowl, and saying, well, Patricia coming to Detroit, Lions have tons of cap space. Malcolm Butler is definitely not going to be a Patriot next year.
Stop it.
That just means he should definitely come to Detroit. And for those of you who say that, are you really ready to pay a guy upwards of probably $13 million a season to come be your number two cornerback?
Yeah,
the answer to that question should always be no.
Yeah. You're like, come on. Like, that's the one place where the Lions are not hurting on defense is the cornerback depth. Like, you still have Nevin Lawson, and honestly, I think you get to choose between Nevin Lawson or DJ Hayden. You've got Darius Slay, and don't, like, for whatever reason, the Lions fans keep forgetting that you got Tease Tabor on the roster,
right?
And he will start sooner or later.
And you'd like to think sooner with a defensive coach now in place, and how well he
played at the end of the year.
Right, and you want the guy on the cheap contract to be playing on your team, not the guy that you just splurged on for no apparent reason when you don't have a front seven yet. It doesn't make a lot of sense for Malcolm Butler, and guess what? He's probably, I mentioned this on the Facebook Live, he's not as good as you think. He really isn't. He was, I think, in the 40s or 50s in PFF ranking. If you listen to a lot of Patriots analysts, they said they weren't even all that surprised by Butler's benching, because he hasn't been playing that good, especially as a number one. So
I didn't even mention Jamal Agnew, and I didn't even mention Jamal Agnew and Quandre Diggs.
Right. Yeah. And who knows what the plan is with Quandre Diggs, with safety or nickel corner, or, you know, he even has some outside abilities as well. But yeah, Malcolm Butler makes no sense in Detroit other than he has a Matt Patricia connection. And based on what happened on Sunday, maybe the Matt Patricia connection isn't as strong as we thought.
All right, let's take a quick break here. We're going to keep talking about the Super Bowl, and we need to, once again, we had a lot of schadenfreude last episode, constantly dissecting the evolving Alex Smith news when that happened. I don't think this is going to be as much in real time, but let's, we need to talk about the Colts, and we need to talk about what, I mean, it never would have happened in Detroit, right? Right? We'll be right back. EO DCast. Always on it. I always tried to sing some part of this. I'm not going to do it now. Josh McDaniels is not the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. And that was not true 24 hours ago. That was going to be the thing that was going to happen. Josh McDaniels, offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots, was going to be the new head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Fast forward to the 6th of February, Tuesday. No longer the case. What the hell happened?
Ryan, I think this segment should be yours, because you're the one that has been worrying that something like this was going to happen with Matt Patricia all along, and I was the one saying it would be unprecedented for something like that to happen.
And then what happened?
Make me eat crow. Make me eat crow. Let me have it.
Okay, because, hey. Well, here's the funny thing too, because this, I mean, I said it wasn't the case 24 hours, but before that, there were rumors out that this was going to happen, that Josh McDaniels was going to be back with the New England Patriots. We just kind of brushed it off. And then when we saw the Colts were like ready to make him the head coach, we're like, okay, they got this in the bag. I don't think anyone expected us after that point for suddenly to do a 180.
Right. And shout out to, I don't say this very often, but shout out to Mike Florio for originally having that story. And I have to admit, I kind of brushed it aside because it was Pro Football Talk, but he absolutely had it right.
Let's add this little interesting nugget to it. Diana Russini from ESPN spoke with several members of what was supposed to be McDaniels' indie coaching staff. They have not heard from Josh McDaniels regarding his change of heart. And this was as of like 20 minutes ago, which was like 2 hours after Josh McDaniels reportedly is going back to New England. So
we got a coaching staff just, and no head coach in Indianapolis. It's wonderful.
It's awesome. Now, it's totally not awesome for the Colts fans. Like, I truly feel for them. But at the same time, I mean, can you be that upset for a guy who, you know, can you be pining over a guy who really didn't have his heart in coaching your team anyways? So, I don't know. This whole debacle tells me a whole lot of kind of what's going on with the court, like Colts organization as a whole, too, though, I think. Like, I know that there have been some reports that say, you know, McDaniels really wanted to come back to New England, but they just weren't showing that they weren't showing him that much that they actually wanted him back. And then Kraft was really aggressive over the past like 24 hours or something like that, and that caused him to have a change of heart. And whether or not that's Bob Kraft being petty, which it probably 100% absolutely is over the, you know, the Deflategate stuff or whatever it may be, but man, what a tough break for the Colts. I mean,
yeah, I just want to ask
your franchise, like, your franchise quarterback may never be the same ever again. No head coach wants you. You're going to end up with Jeff Fisher.
Good God. I want to ask this, though. Is this more about Indianapolis being like, we've completely, like, I think the problem is that the era of Peyton Manning plus Andrew Luck has made us forget that as bad as the Lions have been, as bad as the Cleveland Browns have been, the Colts are the original dysfunctional organization of the National Football League. So is this more dysfunction on the part of the Colts? Or, as you alluded to, Ryan, is this more about the rat fucking that Bob Kraft just put the Colts through because he's still mad at the Colts for snitching over Deflategate?
I mean, well,
even add in, yeah, go ahead,
Jeremy. I was going to say, and this is probably what you were going to say, like, to me, this is all about Josh McDaniels relapsing into being an asshole. Because
that's an impossibility too. Yeah.
Because how much over the last 2 years have we been like, oh man, he's learned from his experience in Denver. He's ready to be a head coach again. Someone just needs to give this guy a chance because he's a genius. And, you know, everything that went wrong in Denver, he's fixed. He's better now. You know, he's off the drugs. You know, he's better now. He's good. And now he's just blown up the Colts franchise. Fucked him over completely. Fucked over his assistants. He's blackballed. I think any other franchise should blackball this guy right now. Never even consider making him a head coach. Because he can stab you in the back like this. And it'd be one thing to go back on your word, but to leave all of your assistant coaches in high and dry like that without even letting them know that you're changing your mind. Totally unprofessional. Totally disgusting. I never want to hear any sort of rumors of McDaniels coming to Detroit ever again because I don't want him. Even as an assistant, like, I don't want him.
This is
ridiculous. Just,
I mean, I want to say it's unprecedented, but it's really not. We've seen coaches kind of
Bill Belichick did it.
That's exactly it. Yes, Bill Belichick basically wrote on a... I mean, he didn't actually do it, but like I imagine he wrote on a napkin to tell the Jets, I'm good. I'm going to New England. But yeah, you can't have a track record of doing it, which Josh McDaniels now has. He's got a file on him, is what we're saying here. Like, just, yeah,
he better enjoy it in New England for a while, because like you said, Jeremy, I can't imagine many other NFL organizations in the near future giving him a chance. I think eventually, I mean, like all things, he'll get some chance from somebody. But I mean, there was also like the rumors that, you know, oh, with McDaniels coming back and not taking the head coaching job in Indianapolis, does that have anything to do with Bill Belichick's future? Like, is Josh McDaniels being groomed to be the next guy in New England? And there were reports that were like, no, like Josh McDaniels like would not want to come back. And honestly, who would ever want to be the successor to Bill Belichick? Can you imagine?
You can't win.
Yeah. Can you imagine a more difficult spot ever? No. So, and do you think, do you think a piece of shit like McDaniels would ever want to take on that kind of pressure?
Not only that, just imagine like if Belichick does retire and then suddenly like you're left without Brady in like a year or two as well, depending on who retires first. Like suddenly, like if you have to follow up Belichick without Tom Brady, that's even more like, nope, yeah. Nope.
McDaniels, dude, I want his way out of that shit somehow.
I want Belichick to draft 7 quarterbacks and then to quit.
Just don't even run Hard Knocks that year. Just run like the Bachelor NFL.
Like, wouldn't it just be the best way to stick it to Bob Kraft? Because I 100% believe that Brady Power played Garoppolo out of town.
Yeah, like I have no reason to doubt that ESPN report. I know like a lot of people are throwing shade at it, but like they do good work, man. Like that was a very well reported, you know, bit of I mean, it's rumors at the end of the day, but like it's rumors with substance, like, and you've got to take it seriously on that.
Yeah, and I mean, some of it for sure sensationalized, like Garoppolo, you know, showing up to the, you know, TB12 offices and nobody being there and having to go through all these channels to try to get somebody to finally let him in the building to rehab or whatever. But like I 100% believe that like Brady went to Kraft and then Kraft was like, all right, Bill, you got to trade Garoppolo. And because it just doesn't make any sense. Like Garoppolo should have been traded for one of the Browns picks in the draft before. And oh, it's funny how a lot of us. What?
Is this what this is about? That it should have been traded to your Browns?
No, they're not my Browns anymore. I'm a Bills fan.
Okay.
But to the larger point though, like I just want Bill Belichick to draft 7 quarterbacks and be like, all right, go ahead, figure it out, guys. Find your next quarterback. I gave you 7 of them. Figure it out.
All right. I want to pose this question because a lot of same old Lions Twitter has thrown it at Pride of Detroit, and I haven't bothered to answer because I think it's an annoying question, but I'm going to be the annoying person of this podcast right now and ask you, is there any concern that you have that Robert Kraft went out and begged Dan McDaniels to come back, but didn't do the same for Matt Patricia?
Ooh. Cause like, that's the thing. Like we were joking in the Slack and I kind of posted a snippet of that to Twitter. We were joking, hey, what if Matt Patricia pulls a Josh McDaniels? And obviously he can, it's all inked and everything. I think looking at that angle you're talking about there though, Jeremy, like, I think there's several differences there. One, again, is that Bob Kraft, there's absolutely the personal angle of the fact that McDaniels was trying to go to the Colts, of all places.
Right. And there's a report out there that this was very much about Deflategate.
This was very much about Deflategate. Please believe, like, you're looking for anyone who started that whole mess that engulfed this league for 2 fucking years plus. It started with the Colts. The Colts were the ones who snitched. And snitches, what do they get, Ryan?
Okay. Gnocchi.
Christ. I would say that. I would say, number one, don't underplay the Colts angle to this. Number two, I think for Patricia, it's been a lot longer in the works. I think they understood what the deal is with him because he's been getting head coaching attention for years now. Whereas with Josh McDaniels, where people were like, I don't know if I want to touch that pot. And really, I think at the end of the day, the only one who really touched that pot finally, even this year, was the Indianapolis Colts. So
they got burned.
And they got burned. They did not have their oven mitts. They got burned real bad. I think they knew what the score was for Matt Patricia, because Patriots defensive coordinators always seem to go out and get jobs somewhere else.
It's just funny that this was the offseason where all of the Patriots coaches were going to be gone. It was going to be McDaniels. It was going to be Patricia. It was going to be Brian Flores. And now it sounds like they're probably only going to lose one guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we haven't even talked about, like, we keep trying to figure out if Brian Flores is going to follow Matt Patricia out the door for flight to DTW, but we haven't really figured out if that's going to be the case yet.
Nope.
Ryan, why don't you answer Jeremy's question about the SOL people?
I truly believe that you cannot understate how petty Bob Kraft is. Like, can
absolutely.
Like we need to remember that Bob Kraft was originally a season ticket holder for the New England Patriots. So I mean, like, this is totally like something somebody would do who's like a fan of a team. And I mean, now he's obviously his relationship has swelled into something that's, you know, greater than any fan could ever imagine. But like, yeah, there's no way. Like, fans don't forget stuff like that. And Bob Kraft is no greater than any fan. So it makes total and complete sense.
And I was just going to say, let's also say that McDaniels is a very, very good offensive coordinator. For as much shit as Matt Patricia is getting for the Super Bowl, it might be just as impressive that the Patriots put up as many yards, or more yards, a record amount of yards on that Eagles defense.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the one thing we haven't even talked about from the Super Bowl yet, is that I got another good piece of, like, I mean, the Eagles won, but their defense got torn up, which means that no one can really celebrate the genius of Jim Schwartz today.
Right.
Like,
right.
No one's giving praise to Jim Schwartz, because you also got lit up pretty well. It's like, yeah, it was by Tom Brady. Who cares? Who cares?
Exactly. I'm with you.
I do want to say this. There is one more possibility about Bob Kraft, and that there could be let's say there's compromise on Bob Kraft, which is making him destroy the all-American city of Indianapolis with this. And that is back in 2005, Robert Kraft's Super Bowl ring was taken from him by Vladimir Putin.
Oh boy. This goes all the way to the top.
It is. There is compromise. It's time for some game theory. Mailbag is coming up next. Ryan's having some technical difficulties. He'll rejoin us for the mailbag. Mail time, hashtag AskPOD to get your stuff in. We promised we would get to the reviews. I think we had to hold off on one of them because our last podcast, we went extra, extra long and talked about things like Titus Young and former players and all sorts of stuff. But I'm sure the reviews are looking pretty good. So what do we got, Jeremy?
We have two reviews this week. We have a first very nice review and then a second review. Let's start with the first. It's from GoDutch01. Actually, it's from GoDutch01, but the title is Mike in Iowa. 5-star review says, a fun listen, which brightens my week. Can get off topic sometimes, but who doesn't? The swearing may great at times, but the hashtag we own the Bears is truly great.
Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike in Iowa /GoDutch01. Appreciate you understanding that we get off topic every once in a while, which leads us to our other review from Ken in Brandon, which is titled False Start, 2 stars. So, you know, didn't bottom out there.
Fuck you.
Below average. disappointing. This week they spend 10 minutes on Lions, 95 on Blake Griffin trade, Alex Smith, Super Bowl side bets. Bottom line, much better podcasts can be found elsewhere.
Did we not talk about Titus Young? It's like a Lions topic. Like, you realize what's coming up in the offseason, folks. Like, I can, if you want to step in here, we will absolutely do a podcast every week about why the Lions just switched with 3-4 defense.
I mean, it was a Super Bowl episode, and we were having fun listening to all the Alex Smith. It was a one-off in terms of how little we talked about the Lions last week.
Fuck on. Like, I know some of you psychopaths at home just want to talk about the Lions 24/7, but you know what? Some of us don't have the patience for it, even though we cover the team sometimes. And you know what? There's more to life than just the Lions. There's more to sports than just Lions. It's a Super Bowl. The Lions aren't in it. What do you want us to do? Not talk about the Super Bowl? Jesus Christ. Mike from Iowa is cool. This other guy can get bent.
That's I don't think anger. He's listening anymore, so that's fine.
Yeah, I know.
We don't want him. You know what? Go back to the Patriots, you fucking Josh McDaniels.
Nah, forget about it. All right, let's get to the questions. James Cookie 991, would Lions fans wreck downtown Detroit who won the Super Bowl like the Eagles fans did?
No.
We would definitely not eat poop. That's for sure.
There's far less of downtown to really wreck.
Careful.
No, I'm not saying that as a blight joke either. I'm just saying, like, that as a matter of fact, downtown Detroit is very small.
I don't think Lions fans quite have the rowdy reputation that Eagles fans do, but it will be nuts. And I fully plan on being there.
Do you think someone, probably a Michigan State person, would burn a couch, though?
Oh, yeah. There'd be stuff that would be burning. But, I mean, I don't know. I think I kind of draw the line at eating horse poop.
What if the horse poop is on fire?
It would also be really, really cold. Hey,
they would go, she called the shit poop.
Don't put it out with your boots, Ted.
Don't tell me what to do, devil woman.
All right, here we go. John Whitaker. See, he's friend of the show, right? I always mess up on John.
Yeah, he's all right.
He goes back and forth between friend and enemy.
Yeah, keep one, sell one, relocate one, and fold one. Lions, Pistons, Red Wings, and Tigers.
Oh, wow.
Yikes.
What are our options again?
Keep one, sell one, relocate one, and fold one. I could potentially... I'm going to buck this here. I'm going to... Actually, you know what? No, let me change it up.
This is a good question. I like it.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm thinking about my choices because I don't want to be too obvious, but go ahead. You sound like you got something.
Well, fine. I mean, we're keeping the Lions. I'm sorry for being the boring answer, but we're keeping the Lions. We're going to relocate the Red Wings to Windsor.
I think
Canada deserves another team and we can go watch them in Windsor. That's fine.
This is blasphemous.
We're going to sell the Pistons because I'm sure the Cavs owner, whatever that guy's name, will take another.
So you're going to fold the Tigers. Team. You're going to fold one of the oldest teams in baseball. One of the most. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
We folded the typewriter, too.
Okay.
You have yours, Chris?
Yeah, I'm selling the Tigers because I'm not a fan of the Illiches right now. Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and relocate the Pistons as much as it would break my heart. Don't ask me where.
Seattle. That's the obvious answer.
Yeah, I guess.
Make them the Super Sox. I like that.
I'm 50-50 between selling either between the Tigers or Lions, but the one that I don't sell, I'm keeping. And then, yeah, I'm going to fold the Red Wings. It was a good run.
Wow.
I just don't care about hockey.
No more hockey town.
How many people are saying it's hockey town right now with this Red Wings team?
The people that work in the cafe?
Yeah. I mean, if I sold that. The Tigers, too, I'd also be selling the Red Wings. But, yeah, I don't know. What you got, Ryan? What's your answer?
Fold the Lions. It was what? Fun.
Well, get out. Did. You're off the podcast.
I mean, it's a tempting proposition.
I was fully expecting Chris to be the one to say that one.
Sell the Pistons because they finally have a superstar. And relocate the Tigers to Toledo.
We've got a great team down there. It's called the Mudhens. Like, you'd have to rename the Tiger. It can't be the Toledo Tigers. You'd have to name them to like the bigger Mudhens. But that could be cool if you did. I'm on board if it's a rebrand, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a rebrand.
Awesome. Badass.
So you're keeping the Red Wings?
Yeah, I'm keeping the Red Wings. They're probably like my favorite team. Isn't that a glowing endorsement? They're probably like my favorite team.
You hear the sound of me typing? That's me sending your resume to winging it in Motown.
All right, let's keep this rolling. Let's get to Zack Snyder, our friend from what is that? Detroit Jock City, that's right. Am I a frozen food snob for refusing to consider the microwave cooking option under any circumstances?
No. I think that's acceptable.
I've got some funny things. I don't have a microwave in my place right now in LA, and I'm not going to have one until I move to another place, hopefully somewhere else in LA that's not costing me as much to live in. And until I do, like, I'm trying to make enough stuff at home, but sometimes I get, you know, frozen dinners, but a lot of them don't have directions for anything but microwave anymore. And I've melted a few containers trying to put it in the oven.
Well, and frozen food goes beyond just frozen dinners, too. Like, frozen vegetables, I would never microwave a frozen vegetable. You throw that in the oven.
Even like what about those like steaming bag broccoli?
Yeah, I usually don't get those.
Okay,
but I guess I can understand them, but I would definitely prefer oven roasting frozen vegetables, especially. And then if you can, I mean, I haven't bought a frozen dinner in a very long time, so I don't know. But like when you get those frozen lasagnas, those don't go in the microwave, right? You got to throw that in the oven.
I wouldn't know.
Otherwise, you're getting a cold middle.
Virtually everything, like literally virtually everything, is just better in the oven though. Like, I mean, are we really microwaving anything? Like, what are we microwaving? Popcorn,
leftovers.
Like, no, but leftover pizza I'm 100% putting in the oven.
But here's what happened with me. I made that buffalo chicken cronut yesterday for the Super Bowl, which was delicious. By the way,
shut the fuck up about.
I had some leftover buffalo chicken in some Tupperware. Just nuke that for 30 seconds and put it on top of the salad. It was great.
Yeah, I'm not saying a microwave is bad. I'm just saying, like, for the microwave, like, dishes that are made specifically for microwave, like, devour or something, or, like, Stouffer's or something.
Yeah. That's fair.
All right. Let's go on to another question, because I want to get through more questions. We tend to get caught up on some of these. So let's go to Nick Ola. Top five HBO shows of all time.
This is a list cast. You can't disguise your questions when they're actually list cast.
Yeah. We don't have time for a list cast. We'll add it to the pile. We do need to do more list casts again, especially in this off season. But it does allow me to transition into that. Now, I think most of the Super Bowl commercials were forgettable, but we did have a few trailers. We had the trailer for Solo. Was there a Black Panther trailer? I kind of forgot. Or was that just another teaser? Either way, what I'm trying to get to is saying Westworld Season 2.
Yep, that's the thing. Wouldn't make my top five, but...
I mean, what do you think about it, though?
I've seen all of Westworld, so
did you finish it?
I finished it. I did not pay attention to the trailer. So I have no comments on the trailer. I'm sorry.
Ryan, you don't watch Westworld, do you?
I don't watch Westworld. Oh, but the answer to that question was The Wire.
No, it's Sopranos.
I have a friend who's just watching The Sopranos for the first time, and she like wouldn't shut up about it for a while. And I honestly need to give it a shot. I need to give it a shot because it's one of Wally's. It's probably Wally's like favorite show of all time.
I mean, that was the show that basically like put HBO on this track to making like, you know, real fucking quality good television, right?
Yeah,
like The Sopranos was the original like prestige TV progenitor.
Don't sleep on Six Feet Under. Would definitely be a top two. Maybe beats out The Wire, but I'm not sure. I have to think about it.
Let's go on to another question here. Ryan Collins, who has more wins next season, Patrick Mahomes or Matt Patricia? And he spoonerized both names here. So
MP versus MP.
Oh man, this is terrible. This is awful. What a heart-wrenching question.
This is just for you, Ryan.
It really is.
Patrick Mahomes.
You son of a... You're off the podcast again. That's two strikes.
No, I mean, this is... But isn't this, like, legitimately just a question, like, who do I think is going to be a better team? Like, yeah. I feel like...
Who's going to have the better record next year? Chiefs or Lions?
Who gets to play John Gruden's Oakland Raiders twice next year? Like, I mean...
And the ailing Chargers.
And I mean, think about the other things that the Chiefs got back in return for Alex Smith. Like now they have like their cornerback depth is insane. They have an extra third round pick. They're set up pretty nicely. Like if the Chiefs don't win at least 11 games, something really went wrong.
Like who's gonna challenge them in that division?
The
like,
Kirk Cousins led Denver like, Broncos.
Stop it. He's gonna be playing for the Vikings. That's wait, why I thought the
that
Lions
was,
won't.
That was your prediction last week. That was your prediction last it was, week, the Broncos.
It was
my prediction
last week.
Yeah, what's this changed? Is my new prediction.
The Vikings, get out of here.
Wouldn't that upset you?
Yes.
Yeah, it would upset me too.
Okay, respected madman asking us, how fast did laughter turn into fear when you saw McDaniels not go to the Colts?
Never
I don't think
did.
It's turned to fear. Yeah, I don't think it's turned to fear.
It didn't, like,
I made the joke
no,
about
I
Patricia,
was joking. Relax. I mean, I wasn't joking about burning t-shirts. I definitely would have done that.
I think I probably would have too. As someone who's been staunchly against
so adamant against it, yeah.
I might no, have done have it. I mean, better fans. I would if I was a Colts fan, I would be so pissed right now. I'm mad for them, to be honest.
We were just reading the Greg Doyle columnist at the Indy Star, and what a title on this. And Josh McDaniels is a selfish little jerk, but he did the Colts in Indianapolis a favor.
That's a great headline.
Lead in here is he's not your coach, thank God. Like, I mean, I get it. Are the truth asks us, will Brian Flores join Patricia's staff?
That would be great. That would be the cherry on the top, wouldn't it?
It would. And part of me thinks there's a chance just because there's been so much secrecy around the Lions defensive coordinator job. We don't know if Paul Pasqualoni is going to be that guy, but it's apparent that the Lions have hired him. We just don't know what for. So part of me thinks that because they're all the secrecy, we're just waiting, you know, for Flores to be freed. But he still has, like, the Patriots still have to give him up. And we just saw them scratch and claw their way to getting Josh McDaniels back. And this is a guy who, by all means, was the guy in waiting, was the guy that was going to take over as defensive coordinator once the position opened up. So I don't see it happening, but... Then again, there's the Greg Schiano rumors coming around too, and that kind of makes me think that maybe there is a chance again. I still don't think it's going to happen, but I don't have a clue either way, really.
Okay, Josh Mullen asking us, Could Detroit get an XFL team? If so, what would you call it and what color scheme would it have? I feel like I'm going to pitch this question out to Ryan.
I think I'd be a, I don't know. I'm really a big fan of when like whole cities have like the same like color scheme.
I was just thinking about that. Pittsburgh. Pretty cool that they do that with the Bruins, the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, but there's
Penguins.
Really not a unified color scheme for Detroit. And I mean, you look at the city flag too, and it's red, white, and blue with like some gold in there too. So it's kind of all over the place. Like what would be the defining, would it be the Tigers colors? Would it be the Red Wings, or would it be the, I mean, it wouldn't be the Lions. Honolulu blue is a little too weird. But like, yeah, like, you know, you look at, I mean, even looking at New York team, the Knicks and the Mets both do the colors in New York. I don't know what you would do for Detroit.
Well, the Islanders too. Like that's another, I mean.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I forgot about the Islanders. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Like red and black, would that be fine? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of more hung up on. Yeah, what's up?
I'm not a big fan of the Pistons color scheme. Like, I never have really.
Red, white, and blue is too. It's too universal across basketball. I don't care for it.
It's just it's funny seeing Blake Griffin where people are like, "Oh, it's so weird to see him in a new jersey." It's like, yeah, the Clippers have the same color scheme. It's really weird.
What about names for an XFL franchise in Detroit?
I would like something with the something fire related. Not for any kind of cool related purpose, but like, again, we're talking about flags. What's the big thing central to the flag of Detroit? It's the fire that burned down Detroit way back at like the founding of the city.
Maybe we can get Martha to own it and call it the Detroit Firestones.
I mean, flame decals would look pretty cool for a league like the XFL, if we're thinking about it.
Yeah, especially if they put it like on a horse head and then like had kind of a turquoise
color
scheme.
I see what you're going there, but I'm going to take another direction. Let's just go full the share zone.
That's a deep cut on Twitter.
I have an idea if Philly had a team, they could be the Philadelphia Horse Poop Eaters.
I know where Ryan's trying to derail us, but I guess the question is, where would they play? Because I mean, in the past, I'm trying to remember the USFL, like the people who own the Michigan Panthers were close in with the Ford family, so they were able to play in the Silver Dome. Was it even the Silver Dome at that time? I'm trying to remember. But like, yeah, there's not a lot of places to play right now in Detroit. You're going to put a football team in Cobo.
Yeah. They used to have indoor soccer there. Do Cobo. Do Cobo.
This was a mistake. All right. Let's see here. Let's get a couple more questions in while we have the time. B. Toif. Butchering that. Are we going to have to call Patricia Matt Pat? If so, how do we stop this?
I ran a poll a while back whether people preferred Matt Pat or Matt Trisha, and I think Matt Pat won.
Jesus,
but
why?
If I'm being honest, neither of those are going to catch on. We're just going to call him Patricia.
Yeah, like not everyone needs a what you would call it, a nickname. Yeah.
Jim Caldwell didn't have one. Unless you count Papa Smurf.
Papa Jim.
Papa Jim. Papa John's.
All right. Matthew Frazier. Do the Lions take a quarterback late in this draft?
Probably.
Yeah. They have Alex Torgerson or whatever. Torgerson. I don't think that's going to stick as their third string. I think, I mean, Bob Quinn has said in the past, it's something that they do every year or every other year. And sure, they took one last year, but they don't have that guy anymore. So I could certainly see them doing it again in the seventh round, assuming that they have that seventh round pick that they could have potentially lost because of what's that cornerback's Jonathan Banks, the Jonathan Banks trade. If it was a conditional seventh, and chances are they didn't meet the conditions. So I think the Lions are going to have that seventh round pick, and yeah, why not spend it on some quarterback that I've never heard of?
Ryan?
I mean, if you're asking...
to address the slander about the former quarterback of the Lions that Jeremy just kind of crashed on?
He'll get his chance. Don't worry. I mean, he'll get his chance. When the NFL is scorched, one man will rise.
One man.
Pack and watch.
Hey.
Commander Shepard of the Patricia Militia. I think Zenner is currently our third best running back behind Abdullah and Theo. Do you agree? Why or why not?
Counterpoint. Actually, counter question. Does that even matter?
That's a damn good counterpoint, I gotta say.
Yeah, I think he is, but I also agree with Ryan. I might not matter by the time, because ideally he's going to then be the fourth best running back on the team by the time free agency or the draft is over, which means he's essentially going to be a practice squatter eligible. He's probably not even eligible.
Let's just say that Zach Zenner is going to go on and do much better things with his life.
Yeah.
Matt Gibbons. Do you think Matt Patricia uses a handheld pencil sharpener or electric?
Now we're asking some real questions. That is a great question.
Phenomenal question.
I like to think that he has a manual. Is that what you called it? A manual?
Well, are you talking non-electric crank, one? A crank or like one of those like small things I was talking about? It's like a razor blade with some plastic.
Yes, I'm talking about one of those. I think he has one of those embedded in his beard and he just kind of sticks it in there and turns it around.
I think he's got an electric
the little plastic one is just like, it's so like netted in his hair and it's just like
it's matted in there because
in order to like get it to sharpen, like you have to like create some torque and like the sharpener has to stay fixed, so it's just like knotted in his beard.
That is a high tensile beard.
Ooh, what if his beard has become so razor sharp that he can just sharpen pencils with his beard?
What if he uses that as a weapon?
Is Matt Patricia going to wear a hat when he coaches? I hope he does. I hope he wears the backwards hat.
I think he does. Why would he go away from that look? It's become so iconic.
I don't know.
Because you know what? Wearing your hat backwards is not a sign you're a winner. You're not here to win.
Dude, guys, DC killed Superman and then they took the cape off him. I'm just saying, like, these things have happened before.
Thank you for listening to the Fried Detroit POD cast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Our main theme was produced by Ryan Shepard. You can find him on Twitter and on SoundCloud at I am Brian Shepard. IamBrianSHEPARD. Thanks a lot to him. Check out his stuff. He's been great. He gave us Victory Monday. So go check him out. That's I am Brian Shepard. And thank you for everyone who keeps listening and makes us one of the greatest Lions podcasts possible. Y'all are awesome. See you star side.